But first, Edgar Carret. Carret was born in Tel Aviv in 1967. His short stories have often been described as Kafkaesque, though, as a fellow writer has pointed out, they're probably best described as Carret-esque. Carret's new short story collection is called Suddenly a Knock on the Door. He tells Steve Paulson that he started writing after a traumatic event that occurred while he was serving in the Israeli army.
My best friend, who served with me in the same base, became heavily depressed, and he shot himself. He killed himself. I found him after he shot himself.
Wow. Do you know why? I mean, depression, obviously, but was there something about serving in the military, do you think?
I think that whenever somebody kills himself, we look for this kind of exclusive reason, because it makes people feel safe. Because let's say if I would say, yeah, it was because he was in the military, and so you can say, okay, I'm not in the military, I'm safe, you know. If I would say it's because his girlfriend left him, you'd say, oh, my girlfriend didn't leave me, I'm safe, you know. But I think there was something very existential in that suicide, and that what was so threatening about it. Because, you know, if there's somebody you really love and you're really close to and he kills himself, then you say, so actually, why don't I do the same thing? And I think that when I started writing, it was basically a way of putting it on paper, saying, this is why I want to live. This is what life means to me.
Now, the story that I've heard about your friend's suicide is even more complicated for you. Apparently, shortly before he did this, he asked you to give him reasons for why he shouldn't kill himself. And if you couldn't come up with a reason, he said he was going to do it.
Yeah, it didn't happen like the same day, but we had a few talks about the fact that he wanted to kill himself. And whenever he would mention it, I say, don't do it. And I would say, you know, we're all going to miss you. You're going to break my heart. You're going to break your entire family's heart, you know. And he said, you know, I'm sorry, but this isn't a good enough reason to keep on living. And he said, give me a good reason, you know. And these are the kind of things that are tough to articulate. You know, it's something personal. It's these kind of things that you can't put in words. But sometimes you can put them in the shape of a story, you know, because I think a story many times is a way of kind of saying those things that you can't put out in one sentence, because it can carry all those ambiguity and complexity of a statement like, why am I living, you know?
So did that incident actually cause you to become a writer?
I wrote my first story a couple of weeks after he committed his suicide. I don't know, maybe I would have started writing anyway, but my life was going to an entirely different direction. I was serving in a computer unit. I was a math major. I was supposed to learn math and computers. And, you know, I never wrote anything in my life before that. So I don't know, maybe if you wouldn't have done it, today I would be some computer engineer or do something else. I'm not sure.
Hmm. And it's worth pointing out that the subject of suicide is a recurring theme in your fiction. You wrote a novella dealing with the subject, which was the basis of the film Wrist Cutters, a love story. And the subject of suicide comes up in your new collection of short stories, Suddenly a Knock on the Door. Does this all go back to your friend's suicide, or is there something else that draws you to this subject?
Well, I think that suicide is always a very strong metaphor for many things, but mostly for talking about life as a choice. I think that many times when you live your life, you know, and you think that, I don't know, things are not working, everything sucks, and you say, why is it happening to me, you know? And there is this sentence, you know, born never asked. I think many people kind of can live their life in a very grumpy and unhappy kind of way. But the moment that you internalize that your life is a choice, you could take your own life in every given minute, then it means that if you leave them and if you chose to leave them, then you should take responsibility of them and kind of live a life worth living.
Well, and one story in particular deals with suicide in your new book. It's called Not Completely Alone. Can you tell me about that story?
Well, it's a story told by a person who's in love with a woman who's not sexually attracted to him. And he keeps saying, you know, she keeps kind of seeing the relationship as a tragedy because she would have liked it to be a romantic one. But basically, she's very, very close to him, yet has sex with other men. And in the story, apparently she had known other people before that who killed themselves because of her. And at some point, the narrator keeps telling the story, but he killed himself because of her, and he keeps telling that story even after his death.
Four of the guys she dated tried to commit suicide. Two even succeeded. And they were the ones she cared about most. They were close to her, very close, like real brothers. Sometimes when she's home alone, she can actually feel us, Kuti and me, in the living room with her, looking at her. And when that happens, it's scary, but it makes her happy too, because she knows she's not completely alone.
Your stories are rooted in reality, but you have all these kinds of fantastical elements in them. You know, there's one story with a talking goldfish, another, there's a small zipper under a man's tongue that his girlfriend unzips to discover that there's an entirely different man underneath. There's a kind of dreamlike logic in a lot of these stories, which I suppose we would call surrealism. And you have been often called a surrealist writer. Do you think that label fits you?
It fits me to some extent, but I think that you can use surrealism in many different ways. Many people talk about magic realism when you kind of break realism to get this feeling of uplift and optimism and that feeling of beauty that comes from the fantastic. But I don't think that's the case in my stories. I think that there is something very mundane about the unrealistic things in my stories. But many times they're just kind of a way or a path to talk about something that is actually very simple and very everyday-like, but I kind of take a detour and do it through some sort of a fantastical situation. But, you know, I'm saying sometimes my character needs somebody to tell him that he's wrong. And sometimes in my stories, it would be a goldfish that would tell him that and not his mother. But that's purely circumstantial.
Is it a way to get at something that's more real, do you think, by bringing in these fantastical elements?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think that there is something about realistic art that is kind of overrated. I think it's a perfectly legitimate choice, and I love a lot of literature that is realistic. But I think that when you write something that is completely subjective. You know, it doesn't matter even if you write in a third-person narrative. You write what you feel. And sometimes the stuff that you feel is not realistic. And my commitment is to truth. It's not to the laws of physics, you know. So if I want to follow some sort of an inner truth and it will take me in a route that is fantastical, I'll happily take that route. It's not a goal, you know. It's just a mean to get somewhere.
Edgar Carret is the author of Suddenly, A Knock on the Door. He spoke with Steve Paulson.